Well, good morning to all of you. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Jason talked about all the things that God has done for us. That last song we sang, he said he sent his son with power to save from guilt and darkness in the grave. And of all the things he's done, praise God for sending his son that we can have salvation and that we can be redeemed and be delivered. And so it's in that name we gather and in that name we worship. I've enjoyed the singing this morning. There's something beautiful about God's people getting together, lifting their voices in song and worship and praise. And so I feel blessed to participate that both before the service and during the service. Let's continue to worship and praise God. For a message this morning, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read verses 8 through 16. The title of the message this morning is Sojourners in the Land. Not quite a year ago, our family had the opportunity to go with the Honduras work ministry team to Honduras and spend 10 days working there. Going to a foreign country other than Canada was a new experience for me. And while I was there, I had to think of this portion of scripture and inspired this message that I plan to share this morning about being a stranger in a foreign country and being a sojourner. I'll use some parallels from that trip and maybe some parallels to our stay here at Bible school to consider this passage and this idea of being a sojourner. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Verse 9, we find this term sojourn. It says, Abram sojourned in the land of promise. What is a sojourn? What is a sojourner? Well, if you look up the definition in the Greek word that's translated as sojourn, means to reside as a foreigner, to dwell in a place as a stranger. It can also mean a temporary stay or to stay for a time and a place, someone who is residing temporarily. And so we see Abraham here staying temporarily, being a sojourner. As I thought about Bible school, it's kind of like a sojourn. It is a sojourn. We're here temporarily. At least we hope it's temporary. I don't think any of us would want to stay. While it's good, we wouldn't want to stay in this Bible school mode permanently. It's a temporary stay in a strange place, you could say, a different place. We traveled here not knowing fully what to expect. It's away from normal. It's away from our church family, our extended family, our work. It's a temporary stay in a place that's not home. But in a spiritual sense, what does it mean to be a sojourner? A spiritual sojourner in our lives today. So we'll look at some parallels this morning of an earthly sojourn and what it means. and compare it to a spiritual sojourn. The first, three points to consider. The first one is, we are in a strange country. Verse 9, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He considered himself to be in a place not his home. He was a foreigner in the land he was dwelling in. He was not a native. And I remember when we arrived in Honduras, it didn't take long after landing to become keenly aware that we were in a place that was not our home, that we were the strangers in. And there's three things that stood out to me that really made that awareness. And the first of those was the language barrier was significant. We no more got off the plane and the customs agents that we met barely knew English, and communication was difficult. We continued on, and two of our suitcases were flagged for inspection, and the inspector didn't know any English, or very little, and I knew very little, or if any, Spanish. And so we communicated with hand gestures, and we finally got it across what he wanted, that he wanted to open it up, and we, thumbs up, go ahead. And we got through that, and made it out into this place that was unknown. Well, the language. In another instance, we divided into groups and were dropped off for supper at restaurants and had to try and order food. And yeah, it's difficult ordering food from a menu that you have no idea what it's saying. Now we have the gift of Google Translate, so that helps a little bit. But we had someone with us who could translate and communicate, and we were able to finally get food ordered. And I was thankful that we had that translator and we had the tools we had. But you became very aware that you were in a strange place because of the language barrier. If we're to be as sojourners as Abraham was, what language are we speaking? What spiritual language are you speaking? Is it the language of the world around us? Is it the speech of the world around us? Is it the interests, the hobbies, the sports, the politics, the news cycle, the entertainment, and so on? Is that your language? Is that what's coming out of you? Is that what is you feed on? Or are these things foreign to us? Do we speak a spiritual language, or do we speak an earthly language? Sometimes we think we can be spiritually bilingual. We think that we can go to church Sunday morning and we can speak the language of God's kingdom. And maybe on Wednesday evenings and partway through the week, we spend part of our time speaking God's language and being in the kingdom of God. But then we try and spend half our time being interested in speaking the language of the world around us. And we think we can be spiritually bilingual. We think we can follow the pursuits of the world and have a lot invested in that, but also pursue the pursuits of the kingdom at the same time. And I think we need to be aware of that. And the reality is, you will speak either one language or the other. Are you speaking the language of God's kingdom or the kingdom of the world? The other thing that was vastly different in the foreign country was the measuring system. Temperature was in Celsius. The metric system was used for measuring everything else. Gasoline was in liters. Product was measured in kilograms and meters. And I was always trying to do this conversion between the two to even grasp how much of what we were dealing with. And so the measuring system was foreign. And you felt like you were in a strange country because everything was hard to gauge. What measuring system, what spiritual measuring system are you using? The world measures success by how much wealth, how much influence, and how much popularity a person has. Is that the measuring system we use in the Brotherhood? Is that the measuring system that's used in Bible school, in the youth group? Or is our measure of success different from this world? Do we measure success by what God says success is? And that measure of success is the saving of the souls of men and bringing them into the kingdom of Christ, to have treasure that's laid up in heaven, to have souls that are won for the kingdom. And you and I are called to be the hands and the feet and carry of the kingdom and carry the gospel to the world and to bring those souls in. Are we using the right measuring system for success? Or are we trying to use two? We think we can use one of the world part-time and one of the kingdom of God the other time. And there's this constant conversion going on. How much can we spend here and spend here? Jesus called the rich young ruler to sell all he had and come follow him. And if our hearts are set on the measuring system of this world, we need to do something about it. We need to use the correct spiritual measuring system as sojourners in the land, because we're in a strange country. The other thing that was foreign to me, or that made me feel like I was in a strange country, is that the currency was foreign. The currency of that country was very foreign. And I brought back some Honduran paper money as a souvenir. I don't have it with me, but their money was completely different. It looks completely different. The value was vastly different. And if you were to bring that money back that I brought, or if I was to take that money that I brought back and try and use it here, take it to a store and try and buy something, it would be worthless. It would be ineffective. Nobody would want it. It's a foreign currency. It has no effect here. What spiritual currency are you using? Are you using the correct spiritual currency? Again, the currency of this world is the wealth and the success and the popularity and the power. And these things can be used to buy your way and create a place for you here on earth. But what is the currency of the kingdom of God? The only currency that's worth anything in the kingdom of God is faith. And we have this in the faith chapter here, verse 1 of chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then down to verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so the only currency that works in the kingdom of God is faith. Without faith, we don't get anywhere in the kingdom of God. Faith is the currency we need to participate in God's kingdom. It's the currency of the sojourner. And the currency of this world, the things and stuff, and material success, has no effect and no value in the kingdom of God. You can't use that currency to purchase your salvation. You can't use that currency to bring souls into the kingdom of Christ directly. Now, how we use these things that we're given does affect the kingdom of God, but you can't purchase souls with money. And so faith is the only true currency in the kingdom of God. Faith that God's word is true, that what he has written and given to us is real and it is to be believed. Faith that causes us to believe what is given us and to take it and put it into action. Faith that leads us to the saving blood of Christ and in his work on the cross for our souls. Faith that manifests itself in actions that build God's kingdom. So the question is, what currency are you using? What currency are you trading in? Is it the currency of the strange country? Or is it the currency of the kingdom? And all these things combine to make the value system of that country. You have the language, the measuring system, the currency, and there's other things. But it creates the value system of that country. What is your value system today? What do you really treasure? What do you value? What are you anchoring your life in? What are you investing in? Our value system must be different from the world around us, from the place that we sojourn in. The value system of the sojourner must be different. If it's not, then we would conclude that we're not a sojourner, but rather a resident. In John chapter 2, we have these verses. John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What value system do you have? Where is your love? Is it in this strange country, or is it in the kingdom of God? Are you a sojourner, a person that's on a temporary stay? We are called in verse 13. He says that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Do we identify as a stranger to this earth, as a pilgrim that's traveling through, a person on a journey through, a sojourner? We must count this world around us, this earth, the world's value system, as a strange country, a strange place. Otherwise, we are of the world, and we are not strangers and pilgrims. We are not sojourning here. And so we must consider this to be a strange country. We must, as it were, be spiritual foreigners here below in this world. Second point, we must realize that this is a temporary thing, a temporary stay. Abraham considered his stay to be temporary. It was a sojourn. It was not meant to be permanent. It was a temporary stay in a foreign land. In verse 9, it says he dwelt in tabernacles. This means tents. Tents were not permanent dwellings, but were dwellings that could be taken up and moved, taken up and moved to other places. And so he didn't build permanent places. He dwelt in tabernacles. He considered it to be a temporary place. He moved as God led him. But he looked forward to a place that was permanent. Verse 10, for he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so while he was dwelling in a temporary place, he knew that By considering the country he was in to be a temporary place, he could look forward to something permanent, something that God had built, something that was perfect and enduring. And we need to keep in mind that our stay here is temporary. We too often forget that. And we live life like it's going to be permanent. When we went to Honduras, we knew our trip was temporary. We knew it had a ending. We knew that there was a certain amount of time that we had. We know that our stay here at Bible school is temporary. There's a specified amount of time. We know there's a day coming when it's over. But here in this life, we often get comfortable with our lives, with our pursuits, our dreams, our goals. We build up possessions and improvements that make our lives more enjoyable and easier. We cultivate reputations and, yes, even status, as if that's the meaning of life. And too many times we begin to operate as if this present world is our only purpose and mission. And so the question I have for you is, are you remembering, or are you forgetting, that all the things around us, the possessions we have, even the struggles we face, the temptations, the questions, the pool of the world, the pool of the strange country, it's a temporary place. It's temporary. We are here on a sojourn, on a temporary stay. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you have your eyes set on the eternal or on the temporal? The things we're going here, it calls it the light affliction, is but for a moment. On our trip, we endured things we weren't used to in the strange country, the language, the currency, and the value system, measuring system, so forth. We endured the work and the hot temperature and the transportation that was slow and grueling. And the discomfort and stress we endured because we knew it was temporary. We persevered through it. And we applied ourselves to get the work done in the time we had. And we kept focused on the mission. And here at Bible school, we may put up with some things that are maybe not normal, unusual. Staying indoors in a dorm with a crowd of people. Keeping a somewhat rigid schedule. The intense study, maybe giving up your phones. Taking direction from staff who's you only met a couple days ago. And while it might be enjoyable for a short time, we wouldn't want this to be permanent. But we focus on the purpose and the mission of Bible school because we know it's temporary. We stay focused. We endure. We go through it. And it has its blessings. But you get the point. It's a temporary thing. And just as short and temporary as that trip was, and just as short and temporary as this stay at Bible school is in comparison to your lifetime, so our lives here are but a temporary stay when compared to eternity. We're on a short, short stay here on this earth, a sojourn in this land in light of the eternity ahead of us. Let's not forget this, that our lives here are but temporary. Let's never forget that we, like Abraham, must continue to look for that city that is permanent, a place that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Third, there is a better country. There is that place that God has prepared for us. And in verse 16, it says, talking about the cloud of witnesses, those that had gone before, they desired a better country that is heavenly. These heroes of faith looked forward to something better. They desired a permanent place, a better place, a perfect place that God had prepared. And Bible school has been enjoyable, but I'm sure you're looking forward to going home. Looking forward to going to a place that you're familiar with. And we enjoyed our short stay in the foreign country of Honduras. A place that wasn't familiar. We enjoyed that experience. But we looked forward to going home. To a place that wasn't foreign. To a place where we could communicate with the people around us. To a place where the measuring system was what we were accustomed to where the currency we were familiar with worked, to a place that was our earthly permanent dwelling. And just like we have that desire here and now, the spiritual sojourner, in a sense, must look forward to a place that is his permanent dwelling, where his value system aligns with God's value system, with the value system of that place, where the language he speaks is the language of the country, where nothing is foreign to confuse and distract. And so we must desire a better country, desire that place, look forward to that place. But for us to be able, on our trip to Honduras, but for us to be able to re-enter that familiar country, that place that we called home, we needed an important item. We needed a passport, a document that granted us access, that allowed us to re-enter our home country. And it was fascinating to me, being the first foreign trip using a passport, where all we had to show that passport. I think we showed it maybe once or twice on our way to Honduras. They didn't really care so much if we were coming there. But to get back to the United States, we had to show that passport many, many times. We had to go to an immigration desk to prove that we were the parents of the children that were with us. At the ticketing counter, we had to show the ticketing agent that we had the right credentials to get into the country we wanted to go to. Security looked at it to make sure we could get on the plane that was going to the United States. I think it was maybe about four times we had to show it in Honduras before we could even get on the plane, something like that. When we landed in the U.S., we had to go through several places, customs and security. And again, that passport had to be shown every time, and we had to prove that we had the credentials to be in the country we wanted to be in, to get into our home country. And those passports were very important. And I kept a close watch on those passports the whole trip. I knew where they were. I made sure they were with me, because I knew if I lost them, it would be difficult to get back into my own country. You and I need a passport to the better country. You need to ensure that you have that passport in your hand. You need to ensure that passport is with you. Colossians 1:12 through 14 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And that, my brothers and sisters, this morning is your passport to the better country. That is your passport to the heavenly country, being delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You need to be delivered from that. And you need to have the work of Christ to translate you into his kingdom, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that is through his shed blood on Calvary. That is the only way. And the redemption and forgiveness of your sins. That is the passport you need to ensure you have. Never lose that passport. Never lose that in your life. To enter the familiar country, we also needed to go through the right gates, as it were. We had specific lanes and places we had to go as we were coming back. Signage that we had to follow, U.S. citizens this way, and we had specific paths and gates we had to go through. And as you head home from Bible school, there's going to be specific roads you need to take to get home. If you don't take those roads, you'll end up somewhere else. And this morning, there is but one way to the spiritual better country. Matthew 7:13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so not only do you need to have the passport in hand, you need to follow the right path. There's only one way to the better country, and that is through the saving blood of Christ and the following in obedience to his commandments. You need to follow the right path. You need to follow, go through the right gates. Jesus said John writes this in chapter 14, verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if you think you'll get to heaven and get to the better country some other way, don't be fooled. Jesus is the only gate by which we get to the better country. On our way to the better country, on our way home, to our home country, certain things had to be left behind. Countries have restrictions on what you can bring in and what you need to leave behind. Things that you must disclose and declare. And to come into the U.S., I think there's a whole checklist of things that you can't bring. There's things you must leave behind. And this morning, the baggage of the foreign country must be left behind if you expect to enter the heavenly kingdom. If you expect to get to that better country, you need to leave the baggage of the foreign country behind. Romans 8, verse 12 through 14. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We need to put off, we need to mortify or make dead the flesh, the things that our flesh would pull us into. We need to live after the Spirit and the direction of God and His Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Abstain from those things that would prevent entrance to the heavenly kingdom. The baggage of the earthly kingdom must be left behind. The deeds of the flesh and fleshly lusts must be mortified, or they will prevent entry into the better country. This is the baggage of the strange country that will prevent your entrance into the better country. And to youth, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And so there's action you must take. You have to run away from those things that would weigh you down and prevent entrance into the better country. You must purpose in your hearts to flee the pitfalls and temptations you face. And the devil would love to pile the baggage of his kingdom on your back. He would love to weigh you down and prevent you from experiencing the better country. He would love to see you carrying as much of his baggage as you can. And my plea to you this morning is to get rid of those things. Repent of anything you need to repent of and flee. Get rid of his baggage. And this is a daily walk. This is a daily fight. It's not a once and done thing. So stay in the fight. Keep choosing right. And leave behind the baggage of the foreign country. And so we are sojourners here in the land when we look for that better country. And we keep our passport in our hand. And we go through the right gate and leave the baggage behind and look for that better country. And as we go from here, you might have an expectation of what you will experience. You kind of have an expectation of what's out there maybe in the coming days. But the reality is the future is unknown for all of us. And we need the faith that Abraham had. It says here, verse 8, "He obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went." There's a sense as we go from here, we don't know what will happen, but we can take this faith that Abraham had and the obedience to Christ and his commands, and we can follow Christ through this strange country. So like Abraham, you and I must ever keep an attitude of being sojourners. Count this world as a strange country. Remember that our stay here is temporary. Continue to seek the better country. Make sure you have your passport in your hand. Leave the baggage of the world behind. And I can remember coming back in the last border agent. We handed him our passports, and he looked at them and said, "Welcome home." And that should be our goal, that one day, as we enter as we go through the end of life and we pass into beyond, that we can hear those words, "Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the better country." May God bless you as you continue to sojourn here in the land and keep pressing on to the better country. Let's kneel for prayer.